Okay, we're at Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Yud Beis. We are in the middle of describing the reign of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Good morning. And we learned yesterday how Chizkiyahu, when he took office, the first day he took office, his first order of business was to cleanse Beis HaMikdash from Avodah Zarah, the Nida. The word that was used to describe the Avodah Zarah was the word Nida.
Rabbi, it's not working.
Okay, he's
okay. Okay.
All right, okay. Okay. And let's go over one nice medrash, Pasuk Yud Aleph. We have the Pasuk Yud Beis. The Pasuk Yud Aleph, when he addresses Klal, he says, Bonai ato al tishalu, my children, do not make a mistake. Do not make a mistake and ignore my words. I'm pleading with you that you should renew your relationship with Hashem. It's with my heart to lichor spritz, to forge a new covenant with Hashem. Do not make a mistake. And he addresses Klal Yisrael with a very unique term, Bonai. I'm not sure we have this expression by any other king. He's giving a public address, a State of the Union address, and he says Bonai, and Medrash makes it very clear. Why did he call them Bonai? Let me read you the words. The Medrash is in the Sifrei. Okay, the Sifrei in Psikta Lamed Aled. Lama Kiram Bonai. Why did Chizkiyahu, when he made his address, a very powerful address, after the right, this is seemingly right after the death of his father, Ahaz. Ahaz was a very wicked man, as we learned last week. And he calls them by children. Talmidim are called children. Where's the ikur, the main source that talmidim are bonim? From the prophets, from the neviim, Elisha, vayetsu b'nei hanevim asher b'veisel el Elisha. So the pasuk says, "Pasuk Malachim, Malachim Beis Perik, Malachim Beis Perik, Beis V'chi B'nei Nevi'im Hoyu." Are they children? V'halo Talmidim Hoyu. These students, the original students in time of the Nevi'im, the time of Tanakh, were students of prophecy. They were training to become prophets, and they were called Talmidim. Elami Kan Le Talmidim Shekruyim Bonim. From here, we learn that Talmidim were called children, and then he goes and gives a whole other example. Sechenu Oymer Vayikshu V'nei Hanevi'im. Another example: Shabi Richo Yel Elisha. The Bnei Hanavim come to Elisha, which means the Talmidim who were training to become Nevim, they approached Elisha. Same example, and then he goes with then the Medrash, the Sifrei quotes Chizkiyahu. He was a teacher. That was his profession, Chizkiyahu. He was a Malamid, and he called Klal Yisrael his Talmidim. Ukram Bonim Shnema Bonay Ato Al Tishal Uchashem Shat Talmidim Kriim Bonim Kacharav Karav. The same way Talmidim are called Bonim, the Rebbe is called a father. Shenemar ve'Elisha Royev hu mitzaik, and he called out to Eliyahu. Elisha was the Talmid of Eliyahu. He begged Eliyahu that when he departs, he should be given the Ruach HaKodesh, even double. He wanted double the degree of Ruach HaKodesh of his Rebbe, of Rebbe Eliyahu. And what are his famous words? Avi, Avi, Rechev Yisrael, my father, chariot of Klal Yisrael. So here we have the Talmud calling his Rebbe, he's calling my father. So we see here a very powerful yesod that a Rebbe is called a father, a Talmud is called an Av, and the main important point I want to bring out is the Ikar Limud, the Makar for this concept, is by prophecy. We today do not have prophecy. We don't have prophecy b'zman hazeh. We have Torah. A Rebbe teaches students Torah, and the students learn from their father, who they call the Rebbe. And yet, the terminology is interchanged, and the truth is that's what we find by Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu does not appear to be a prophet. Maybe he was to some degree, but the way it's used by Elish, by Chizkiyahu, and Klal Yisrael is Rebbe Talmud, not in prophecy, but in Talmud Torah. But that's a later example of the use of the word. The original way it was used in reference to prophecy, which tells us that when you learn Torah, to a certain degree, you become a prophet, even in Bizman HaZeh. zeh, chacham odef min avi chazal say, that a chacham, a wise man, is even greater than a prophet. And what is a prophet? A person that has a very close connection to Hashem. When a person studies Torah, it's not just you acquire knowledge, you acquire a degree of siyata deshmaya and a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is beyond logic. Prophecy and Manavi is someone who has connections to Shemayim. He's living in a spiritual world. His mind, things that a Navi says are not his own. They come from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And we only find these two terms in reference to the prophet, prophecy in reference to Torah. There must be a similarity. Through the study of Torah, you develop a relation with Kadosh Baruch Hu where you have insight into things that are beyond your comprehension. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Beis says, "Vayikumu halavim." Now we have a whole list. The list, if I'm not mistaken, we have five families of Levim. The first family is Machas ben Amosai, the Yol ben Azariah, Bnei HaKohasi. We know that there are three major families of the Levim: Kohos, Merari, and Gershon. Kohos, they're ordered sometimes differently, but these are the three major families. So now we're going to have a list of the leaders of the people and these three families at this time, the time of Chizkiyahu. And here we have, by the way, in Sefer and Melachim, we don't have any reference. All of this is not there. This perek is very loud. The entire perek is not there. All the details of how Chizkiyahu, he cleansed the Beis Hamikdash from Tumah, does not appear in Sefer Melachim. This is unique to Sefer Divrei Hayam, because this is what Ezra Nechemi wanted to focus. What Ezra Nechemi were trying to do was exactly what Chizkiyahu tried to do here at this point in time, to cleanse the Mokim HaMikdash from Tumah, to rebuild it, to restore it to its former glory. That was the purpose of writing Divrei Hayam, to motivate Klal Yisrael to do so, and that's why here in this Sefer we focus on those details, whereas in Sefer Melachim that was not the agenda. The agenda was to tell us about the miracles that happened in that period of time, mainly Sancheriv, that will be mentioned here also later, and that's why that is given much more attention and much more elaboration than what we have here. So he calls here to these Levim. Who are they? Machas ben Amosai. We have to remember, the time of Ezra Nechemi, there were very, very few Levim. It was hard to find a Levi. They had to beg, persuade the Levim to come, to make Aliyah, to come to Yerushalayim. So here, we're here, obviously he's focusing on the families, giving them the names. Perhaps it will inspire a Levim living in Klal Yisrael and Golus. Maybe now you'll come forward, you will make Aliyah. So who are Machas ben Amosai, Yo ben Azariah, min ben Akahosi, min ben Merari? Who do we have from ben Merari? We have Kish ben Avdi, Vazariah ben Yehalel, umin ha Gershuni. We have Yoch ben Zima, the Aden ben Yoch. So we have two different people. It says Yoach ben Zima, not father and son. Yoach ben Zima, the Aden ben Yoch. So these are two different people from each one of the three different shvatim. Now we go into two more families. Umin b'nei Elit Safan. Elit Safan is a descendant of one of the other families. Shimri V.E.L. Umin b'nei Asaf, Zechariahu Umatanyahu. Umin b'nei Heman, with another family. We have Yechiel the Shini. Umin b'nei Yidusun, Shemaya v'Uziel. So there are four different, in addition to the three major families, we have descendants of those three families, four more families. What did all these people come forward and do?
Names go way, way back.
Yeah, these are Tamach Hizkiyahu. These are...
Way back, even before
that. No, those are the family names. Those are descendants, right? Those are the major families. The Levim were divided into major families, and until this point in time, everyone knew which mishpacha you came from. It was divided mainly into three families: Gershon, Kohos, and Merari. From Gershon, what?
Yeah, but then that's
the next generation. Those are descendants.
Back to, I don't know, Tavid HaMelech, or even earlier.
Well. Okay, that's correct, right? David Melchi selected those people that were at his time, right? So these were descendants going back about 220 years, approximately, or maybe a little more. Pasuk Tezvav Ayasu Esachayim. They gathered these leaders. They gathered brethren. Vayiskatshu, and they sanctified themselves. When they went to mikvah, they were mitared themselves from any form of tumah. Vayivo Kimitz Hamelach B'dvar Hashem, and they came according to the command of the king. Now here are very hard words, which are very difficult. B'divrei Hashem. What does that mean? According to the command of the king, Bidivrei Hashem, in the words of Hashem, Letahar Beis Hashem. So let's right away jump for a moment, just jump, skip to the Mitzudos David, Pasik Tesvav, Bidivrei Hashem, Bidvar Shehoya, Bidavar Shehi Avoides Hashem. He does not make much of this. With regard to the matter concerning the service of Hashem. Now Rashi is silent on this, but if I'm not mistaken, I saw somewhere that some of the other Rishonim explained that this is an indication that he was a prophet. Some want to take this to an extreme. Now, it doesn't say this in Rashi, doesn't say this in the Mitzudos, that Chizkiyah was a Navi.
You said Banai, so that's automatically.
No, not necessarily. Bonai is Bnei HaNaviim. No, that was the example. I know, but
he was another.
Okay, could be. But that was the point I tried to make, is that that's not necessarily so. That the Ikur Makar for the terminology of Avu Bein is prophecy, but it carries over to Torah, which is not prophecy.
Not necessarily over here, could be Navi.
So you want. Okay, the Medrash doesn't say that. The Sifrei says that Chizkiyahu, he called, does not say that he was a Navi. The Chain Atam Motzi b'chizkiyo shemelech Yehuda shalimid is kol ha-toyro li-Yisrael u-kara'om banim. So the Medrash saying that Chizkiyah was not a prophet. He was calling them bonim, my children.
Bonai was basically of Torah. He could have also been.
Okay, could be. But this is a very interesting expression that some of the Mefarshim want to pick up on this, and they want to say Bedivrei Hashem refers to the command of Hashem of the words. Bedivrei through the words of Hashem. In other words, Chizkiyah was saying, I had a vision. I had a vision from Hashem, and this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants everyone now to come together, and the Levim shall sing Shira, and we're going to see they're going to offer a complex set of korbanos, which we don't find, not necessarily find the Bukhar in the Torah to bring the korbanos that are going to be brought. And the only way this can be done is if you have a prophet, Hira Shah, telling you to do these things. So it's something to take note of, this unusual expression, the command of the king, Bedivrei Hashem, in the words of Hashem, L'tayer Beis Hashem, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayavei HaKohanim L'pnimo. Now it says here we're switching from Pasuk Yud Beis until Pasuk Tes Zayin. We have been discussing the Levim, and now we're switching gears. We're focusing on the Kohanim. The Kohanim are now entering, and they are going L'pnimo. They're entering into the Heichol and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Why Beis Hashem L'tayer? Because a Levi is not allowed to enter the Heichol. A Levi is not allowed to enter the Kodesh HaKodashim. Now there were exceptions if they needed special work or special craftsmen to come into the Kodesh HaKodashim to do work that cannot have been done by a Kohen or a Levi, so then we made exceptions. But if there were Kohanim available to enter, if something needed to be done, and there were Kohanim that were able to do that task, they would only allow Kohanim to go into the Heichal and into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and indeed that's what's being mentioned over here. Vayevo HaKohanim lepnima, into Beis Hashem, letaher, to cleanse the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because it was completely filled with Avodah Zarah. Rashi will say, and we'll see in a moment, on the walls of the Heichal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were etched into the gold walls, Shemos of Avodah Zarah.
Graffiti.
And they had to be cleansed, and it was a very delicate, lengthy process. And we needed special people to do this. Vayotziu, they took out Eitz Kol HaTum Asher Motzu BeHeichal Hashem LaChatzar Beis Hashem. They took it all the tum that was found in the Heichal Hashem to the courtyard. Vayikablu Halavim LoHeitzi LeNachal Kidron Chutzon. It was a relay system. The relay system was after the Kohanim brought out what was inside the Kohanim, the Heichal, they gave it to the Levim to save time, and the Levim who are allowed to be in the courtyard in the Azara and in the Ezras Nashim, they took the Avodah Zarah and they had a shredding machine, and they pulverized it into dust, and they poured it into the Nachal Kidron outside. How long did this process take? Pasuk Yitzayin, Vayochelu, Be'echa L'chodesh HaRishon, they began on the first day of the first month, L'kadesh, this took place immediately, U'v'yom Shmoyne L'chodesh, and on the eighth day of the month, Bohu L'ulam Hashem, and on the eighth day they came to the Ulam, meaning that it took 7 days just to clean out the Azorah. the outer portion of the Beis HaMikdash, and on the eighth day they came to the Ulam, the three inner chambers. There's the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKodashim. Vayikadshu es Beis Hashem liyamim shmoina. It took 8 more days. So 8 plus 8 is 16. And therefore, 8 plus 8, I guess, on the 16th day, at the end of the 16th day, which was the second day of Pesach, Kilu, they finished. They finished cleansing the Beis HaMikdash. Let's take a look very quickly at the Mitzvot from starting from Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk, there is no Pasuk Yud Beis, but Pasuk Tezva, Bidvar Hashem, we did that. Bidavar Shi, Bidvar Hashem, Tezayin Lepanima, Hiya Heichel. This refers to the Heichel, Ulu Tosefes, Beyor, Omar Beis Hashem. It's the same thing, we just do some repetition. Hatuma, Ha'avadus Kuchavim, Vayikab Lovim, Ba'achotzer, Kiblu Miyad HaKainu, it was a relay system. The Koyhanim took the Avadus Arzor of the Heichel, and they passed it to the Levim that were in the courtyard, and the Levim took it, and they pulverized it, and spread its stuff, Nachal Kidroin. Kiloha Yerushalmi Likonis Teichel, Achutz, to sanctify the Heichel. El Beis Hashem Zeheichel Kilu Gamru Lataris HaMikdash. They finished on the 16th day. Okay, Rashi Pasuk Tezayin Vayavo Hakayim Leblima Kilo Ala Levim Likonis Pim, because the Levim are not allowed to enter into the Heichel. Lachatzar Beis Hashem Mokay Maimon HaLevim. They stood in the courtyard. This was called the Ezras Levim, the area where the Levim, there's a section where the Levim stand in the Beis HaMikdash to sing Shira. That's where they stood. And then the Pasuk goes on to say how long it took 16 days. Pasuk Yitzayin. How long did it take? It took 18 days. Like, why did it take so long? It could take 5 minutes, right? You want to call a mover? Exactly. So Pasuk Yitzayin. Vayikadshu es Beis Hashem liyom l'shmona. L'kach ikfu b'tahar l'tahar. This is why they delayed b'tahar l'tahar called kach. What took so long? Lefi she'ochas tzier kol ha'kesalm. All of the walls were scribbled with murals, graffiti murals. Who knows? Kol ha'kesalm l'tzalme maskis. Images of detestable things. Kidoksiv, it says in the pasuk, Tzalmei kastim chakukim b'sheshar. That the images of the kastim were etched into the walls. The word which means the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. V'ikvu ches yom, it took 8 days, ad sheheshchisu demus hatzalim, until they destroyed the image of the slamim and haksalim. U'v'yom yudvav l'chodesh, kilu hakol habayis v'hazara, and the 16th day, the second day of Pesach, everything was finished. Okay, that concludes. Now let's go by the Pasuk Yitches. Vayavo Prima. Oh, so we're going to see. They did offer Karban Pesach. That's going to be the next Perek. Perek. I think it would then be that was the dilemma. You need a Mizbeach. You do need to offer on the Mizbeach. If you jump ahead to Perek Lamed, it says he called everyone to gather last Pesach b'chodesh hasheni. They made a Pesach sheni in Chanami. They did not do it. Everyone was they offered it. In this is all dependent upon this dilemma of if Chizkiah was successful in being ma'aber. We discussed yesterday being ma'aber the shana. If Chizkiah was successful in being ma'aber the shana for an additional month. That means that they really, when do they really finish cleaning out the Beis HaMikdash? On the 16th day of Adar Sheni. Purim, right? Right after Purim is Yud Aleph and Tezvav. So it's really the day after Purim. That's a question. What it means actually? So it's not clear. Maybe I didn't see it really that much more. Maybe I'll look a little bit more. But it's okay, we'll get to the next parak. We'll be describing in more detail exactly when they offered the Karban Pesach. It can't be they offered on the second month, the Chodesh Hasheni, Pesach Sheni, because the halacha of a Pesach Sheni is only for a minority of Klal Yisrael, not for the majority of Klal Yisrael. So it could be that Chizkiyot was successful. He was successful in being Ma'aber the Shana. However, the Chachamim were not happy, were not pleased with his decision. So the way the Psukim are written in Sefer Divrei HaYom are showing that even the king is not above the law. In history, he goes down as being guilty of being Ma'aber the Chodesh B'Nisan. Something, you know, but it works. if you do an Avera, that's the sugya all over Shas, kol milslam rachmon loy savid, whenever the Torah tells you not to do something, I ovid mahani or loy mahani. If you do it, does it work or does it not work? Torah tells you don't do something, and you don't listen to the Torah, and you do it. Do your actions count? Hizkiah was not allowed to be ma'aber the Hashanah once Chodesh Nisan already entered. But he did it anyway. If he did it anyway, so that means when did they really finish cleansing the Beis HaMikdash? On the 16th day of Adar Sheni. So now when they're bringing the Korban Pesach in the second month of his reign, they're bringing the Korban Pesach on when it's supposed to be brought. So why then do the Psukim are written in a way you can maybe fadre the pasuk to interpret it correctly, but the connotation, the simple way the pasuk is written, is in a way where it seems that Chizkiah was wrong. What he did was illegitimate. It was a second mandish like it did to show you got away with it. You got away with it.
It's very hard to understand, because if there were Chachamim that didn't agree with it,
yes,
so when he went to bring the carbon, they would have brought the carbon place earlier or whatever.
No, the fact is he forced their hand. He won. Seemingly he was able. What he did was shalei kahalacha, but it works. The Torah says don't do this, or according to Chazal.
Everyone has to bring this.
Exactly. So once he did it, it was Shaloi Kedin, but it works. Best that no choice.
Everyone told you that today was February. Would you accept it?
No, but that's. If the Melech told you and the Sanhedrin said we have no choice but to go along with him, so al pi halacha, according to the halacha, that's it. It's now the 16th, it's now Adar Sheni, and Pesach will be a month later. That's the way it's going to be on the calendar. But you should know you got an Avera, you did something wrong, and history should record that you're a sinner, that you went up against the Chachamim. So they're really both being protested. That's the simple understanding, is that he did it, he got away with it, and the Rabbanon had no choice but to follow his command, his will, and they gave it sanctity. The Kodesh, HaKodesh, Mekodesh was Adar Sheni, but you should know, in history, you're not going to be looked upon with favor, you're going to be looked upon, you're going to be frowned upon that you abused your power as Melech, and that was certainly not a good thing, and not a good way to get off on a start. We know, we mentioned yesterday very quickly that in Rosh Hashanah, we eat all these strange foods on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because Simone Milsa, it's a very, very big thing that it should be a good simon. In fact, the reason why we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say, is only because 1 year they made a big mistake, and the 8 witnesses came too late, and they already said the sheer shel yom of chol. They thought for sure the witnesses are not coming, and it was getting late in the day. So they, the Levim, sang the shira, and they sang hayom yom shlishi b'shabbos. They sang the regular shira, and then witnesses came, and now they realized that it was really Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah, you don't say hayom yom shlishi. You don't say the regular mizmar. You sing a special shir for Rosh Hashanah. So what's the big deal? So they sang. How many times has it happened to us? It's Wednesday, and you said Thursday shir. It's Thursday, you said Wednesday. You get a little confused. You're not paying close attention, and you say the wrong shir. What's the big deal? So they sang the wrong shira. Big deal. You go into the car. You push the CD. You push the wrong button. So the wrong niggin comes. What's Teretz is? It's Rosh Hashanah, and Simon and Nilsa. And if you sing the wrong shir in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a very bad sinning. To get the year off, when the year gets off on a bad note, that's not a good sign. So you see, there is such a thing called Simanim Milsa. So here it's the first day of Chizkiyahu's kingdom, of his Malchus, and he's going to be Melech HaMashiach, and his Koyach is Torah. He's the one that was Noatz, a Cheref, on top of the Beis Medrash. And he said, anyone that doesn't come to Koylel, you don't get the Cheref. If you don't come to Kailo, you get stabbed with a sword. And what happened? The girls, they were bekeen in Tyrus, in Seyde Tyrus. You bekeen in the most difficult areas of Halacha. Torah, it's all about Torah. And what is the most important thing about Torah? Authority. There's a Sanhedrin. You listen to the Chacham. And here on his first day in office, having a fight with the Chachamim, and he takes his power, and he says, you better listen to me or else. And he wins. That's not a good sign. That's not a good simon. And from here, indeed, he was unsuccessful in bringing Mashiach. Let's go further in the Pesukim. We're up to Pasik. Yud Ches. Vayavo Penimah. All the people come now. They enter into his inner chamber. El Chizkiyo HaMelech, Vayamru Tihainu Eskol Beis Hashem. We have abided by your command. We have cleansed the Beis Hashem. V'yes Mizbach Ho'ela. We have cleansed the Mizbech L'choy. They built a new Mizbech. Just like during the time of the Chashmonoim, they had to demolish the Mizbech. Ha'ozeg Mor B'shir Mizmor Chanukah Sam Mizbech L'choy. They had to build a new Mizbech. Maybe not, you know, because that was all discussed by Ochos. Ochos, it's not, Ochos did not necessarily, Ochos built a new Mizbech. He built a replica. But it says there they also kept the Mizbeach of Hashem. It could very well be that Ochaz was careful not to defile the Mizbeach of Hashem. He just had another Mizbeach built in the likeness of the Mizbeach that appeared, that was in Aram. Doesn't say necessarily built a new Mizbeach, but V'yes Mizbeach HaOla, they cleansed it, whatever that means. V'yes Kol Kelov, V'yes Shulchan HaMareches, and they cleansed the Shulchan which upon which was arranged the Lechem upon it. V'yes Kol Kelov, V'yes Kol HaKelim, and they cleansed all the Kelim Asher Hizniach. His niach means rejected. The Mitzudah Sion says aziva, abandoned. Here it means abandoned. All the kelim which were abandoned, HaMelech Ochaz b'malchuso, b'ma'alo, in his transgression against Hashem. Now here are a few words which are a little more difficult. Hechanu v'hikdoshnu. Okay, we'll see what those words mean soon. They simply prepared and they sanctified. Which simply means they took the very same kelim that were once used in the good old days by the kings who were tzaddikim, and like by Yosam who was a tzaddik, and they cleansed, and now they were defiled.
But they probably
that's the question. So here's that's the debate in the Gemara. The Gemara has this debate. What does it mean, Echani? Because the question is, do you have the power if someone takes an object of the Beis HaMikdash and you use it for Avodah Zarah, does it become defiled to the point where it's beyond repair? It's not yours to defile. You don't have power. This belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have the power to defile it. So this is a question. The question is who exactly, how, I don't know the details, but can Kalim be defiled beyond the point of repair? If you learn no, they cannot. So when it says here, Hechanu means they prepare them, they cleanse them, they polish them, they put them in a mikvah, and they re-sanctified them, and they were sanctified. But if you learn that they have been damaged spiritually beyond the point of repair, Hechanu means they put them in Geniza, and they prepared new kelim. They bought new kelim and sanctified new kelim for the very first time. V'hinam, so we'll see that in a moment, V'hinam, and they told Chizkiyo, everything has been cleansed, and all the kelim have been prepared, and they've all been put in front of Hinam Lifnei Mizbach Hashem. Vayashkeim Pasuchov, Vayashkeim Yechizkiyo HaMelech, Vayasov Esor Ha'ir, he gathered the leaders, Vayal, and he ascended to the Beis Hashem. Vayavil Parim, now here it says something very, they offered korbanos. Now what are these korbanos all about? Now we do know that in the Torah, and it appears very often in Shas, especially in Sefer Idios, there's a concept called, the Se'irei Avodah Zarah. If the majority of Klal Yisrael worships idols, then normally, let's take a step back, if an individual, by mistake, he thinks that a certain form of worship is permitted, and he bows down to an idol or does some type of form of Avodah Zarah, he's chayiv to bring a korban chatas, a kivsa or a seira, a female sheep or goat, or a female ram, not a ram, a female a seira. Female, whatever it is. So a kivsa, time to brush up. Kivsa or seira. That's what happens when an individual sins. Let's say you have 50 individuals. You have a whole shul. They worship on the Zohar. So everyone has to bring a private kivsa or seira. But let's say the majority of Klal Yisrael worships on the Zohar. Through the decision of Bezdin, they get a psak. They send a shaila to the Sanhedrin. Are you allowed to worship on the Zohar? And they say, yeah, go right ahead, you can do it.
Sanhedrin can make a mistake. The Gadol.
Yeah, that's what it says. They can make such a mistake. They make a mistake and they tell people that they worship. Then the rule is each individual is not required to bring a kivsa off the hook. Instead, the melech, or the kohen, not the melech, the kohen gadol brings a soyer, a male goat, a soyer on behalf of the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, so the rules are different when the tzibur, the majority of Klal Yisrael worships Avodah Zarah through the decision of the Beis Din, then the Kohen Gadol brings the Soir, what we call the Seire Avodas Koychavim. So here, the entire Klal Yisrael, now that's one issue. And the next question is, what is called the majority of Klal Yisrael? Do we actually follow the whole Klal Yisrael from beginning to end? Or is each Shevet considered its own? Is it considered to be its own Klal Yisrael? So if a majority of one Shevet Zevulun would worship Avodah Zarah, even though they're not the majority of Klal Yisrael, the rule of the Seiri Avodas Kacham is in play. So according to most Mepharshim, we'll see inside, that's exactly what's happening now. In the time, lifetime of Ochos and his Malchus, the majority of Klal Yisrael worshipped Avodah Zarah through Beis Din. Beis Din obviously was corrupt. Obviously, they were corrupt, and they legitimized Avodah Zarah, and Klal Yisrael worship Avodah Zarah. Now Chizkiyahu comes in and he cleansed the Beis HaMikdash. He appoints a new slate of judges, a new Sanhedrin, and they recognize that they're guilty of worshiping Avodah Zarah, so they have to bring the Seirei Avodah Zarah. So each Nasi, that's another question, who's going to bring the carbon, but each Shevet will be required to bring the Seirei Avodah Zarah. Now the question is, at this point in time, how many Shvatim are there? And this is a shocking statement. At this point in time, you have to really connect the dots to Sefer Melachim, what was going on in the world at this point in time. Sancheiriv already made inroads, already went and conquered part of Eretz Yisrael, and he already exiled 5 of the 10 Shvatim. So we're down from 12, we're down from 12 minus 5, we're down to 7. There are only 7 Shvatim left. The Shvatim on the Aver Hayarden, Ruvain, Gad, and Chatzis Shevet Menashe, were already gone. And on the other side, Zvulon and Naphtali, which were on the Mediterranean, along the west, they were also gone. There were 3 waves of exile. Sanhedrin exiled the 10 Shvatim in 3 different waves. So this was already the first wave. 5 were exiled. There were only 7 Shvatim left. And that's what we're going to see. Everything now is going to be brought in pairs of 7. And the 7 is a, there's no, it's according to many of the Rishonim, this is not Hayru Ashah. What's happening now is the letter of the law. You have to know the Masechta Idyus. You have to know the read the psukim of the Seirei Avodas Kechavim. The Tzibur has to bring a Sohir when the majority, the Shevet, does worship of the Zorah through the Psak of Beis Din. And since there are 7 Shvatim remaining at this point in time, that's why now they're going to bring these Kerbanos. Now, the psukim don't fit. We'll see some of the details in a moment. Not everything is perfect here because there are additional other Kerbanos that are not mentioned in the Torah. And we have to either explain that those Kerbanos were nedavos. They were not obligatory. They were gifts. It's not part of the Torah. That's one approach. Another approach is everything that's being brought over here is really nothing to do with the Seirei Avodas Kechavim. And because if it was the Seirei Avodas Kechavim, it would be brought by the Kohen Gadol. And according to some indications in the Pasuk, the ones that are bringing the Korbanos are the Nesiim, are the leaders of each one of these Shvatim, which is not sanctioned in the Torah. And if you want to work with that, and there are many more Korbanos that are mentioned. And also, who says that we absolutely certain that all 10 Shvatim, all the 5 Shvatim at this point in time were exiled? That's not so clear. And even if they were exiled, they don't need Kapara. So they're in Golis. Very good. Let's say Sanchev took them, they exiled them. They're still alive. They weren't killed. Now, they were the second wave, there was a lot of death, carnage. But just because they've been exiled, they're still in existence, so why don't all 12 Shvatim? Why can't you bring 12 sets of Kerbanos for all 12 Shvatim still around? So therefore, there's another approach, and the approach is everything mentioned over here, the number 7, all these numbers, the Kerbanos are Hayro Asha. They are a special decision of the time. It's because Chizkiyahu, as we mentioned, B'dvar Hashem was a prophet, was a Navi. It was a special set of Korbanos were now being offered to atone for the sins of the previous generations. So 2 Mahalcha. You can learn the Psukim if you want. Everything here is strict Halacha. Everything here is following strict Shulchan Aruch, 7, not 12, because 5 Shvatim are in Golos, and anything that doesn't fit will say was a Nedava, was not a Choiva, and the one that's bringing the Kabbanis is the Kohen Gadol, and not the Nesim. That's one Mahalach, and there was no prophecy at this point in time, and we have to have a historical perspective of what's going on. And you have a Mamish, a whole different Mahalach, a completely different Mahalach. There is prophecy. The Shvatim are not in Golos yet, or maybe for a star, and if they are, so what? Hayro Asha, because Chizkiyah was a melech. Very big nafkamin to learn the psukim. Vayavi pasuk yichof aleph. Vayavi, and they offered farim shiva, 7 parim. The elim shiva. Okay, that's the main thing. The ayil is what is the atonement for avodah zara. Uchavasim shiva and 7 kvasim. Now, what are those kvasim? That's not in the Torah anywhere. To bring kvasim, you have to bring parim and elim according to the Torah, but you don't have to bring kvasim and shiva. And then it says utzifireizim and goats. Tzifire means it means seireizim. The word Tzifire is another accompanying name for an ace, for a goat. Okay, it's a different. An ayil is an adult ace. Okay, an ayil is a ram. That's an adult. An ayil, an ace is. No, I'm a little confused. An ayil is an adult sheep, right? An ayil is an adult. An e is.
Ram.
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 Okay, the ram, because the ram. The ayil is the ram. It's the adult. Ayil is the ram, and the goat is a different min. A goat is its utzifireiz, and that's just a term. We call a goat. We call it a tzifir. The plural is tzifireizim shiva lechatos 7 al hamam lochav yal hamigdash. What was this for? This is for 3 things: for the mamlocha, for the kingdom, the al hamigdash, the al Yehuda. And for Yehuda. So there are how many types of animals we have here? The parim, the elim, the kvasim, and the tzifireizim. And these 4 different types of animals are coming for khatas, for the mamlocha, the mikdash, the al Yehuda. 4 or 3 different categories. Vayom Enos does not say...
Yehuda here, then at number 7 doesn't fit in.
So it's discussed. I saw that their question does that. This, since the, if you want to go with the approach that Golus already began, so the remnants, the survivors of the Malchus of Yisrael, already dissolved. Once Sanchev already began exile and already 5 Shvatim, that's it, it was over. So anyone that was left already attached themselves, the remaining Shvatim already attached themselves, identified with Yehuda. That's how they learn Pshat in the Pasuk. Vayomer levnei Aaron haKohanim, and Yechizkiyo says to the children of Aaron haKohanim, lahalois al mizbach Hashem, to bring the korbanos. Pasuk habeis vayishchatu habakar, they slaughtered the bakar, the cattle, vayikablu haKohanim es Adam, vayizruku hamizbecha, vayishchatu ha'elim, then they offer the elim, vayizruku ha'adam hamizbecha, vayishchatu ha'kvasim, vayizruku ha'adam hamizbecha. Now notice it does not say what happened to the Sireizim. The Sireizim is absent. That's very curious. I don't know why. Pasuk of Gimel, vayagishu, here it is. Here it is. Vayagishu esiri hachatos tefnei hamelech v'hakohol. So here it is. Now they bring forth the esiri hachatos tefnei hamelech v'hakohol. Vayismichu yideihem aleihem. And they do smicha, because you need smicha for vidui for the chet. The seirei izim is what is going to bring kapara for the 3 things, for the melech, for the mamlocha, the kingdom, the mikdash, and Yehuda, and he is acting as a representative.
That's why they had 4 different animals. They had 1 for the chatos, for the avera, and the other 3 was 1 on mamlocha, 1 al.
No, but it appears that the tzifire izim. It appears that Sefirei Izim is doing all 3. It appears that Sefirei Izim is doing it. We'll see the Mitzvahs in Rashi.
Right, so
but it, no, I think that was Oilos. The others were just Oilos. They were just gifts. The Sefirei Izim was doing all the kapara. It's the Pashtus. The Pashtus is that Sefirei Izim, the goats, is...
is what's is bringing kapar for all three. Okay, we'll see in the Mesul in a few moments in Susan Rashi. Pasuk of Dalad, Vayishchatum, so they did smicha on the Izim. The smicha is the confession. Vayishchatum, Hakoyhanim, Vayichatu, Esadam, and they sprinkled. Chitu means to sprinkle, because through sprinkling comes atonement. Chitu means atonement, and through the sprinkling it comes atonement. Vayadam, Mizbecha, Lechaper al Kol Yisrael. So notice here it says we switch from the word Yehuda to Yisrael. He said that it comes for the entire Klal Yisrael, the Oila and the Chatas. Seemingly what he's saying is that he's going to be the big unifier. No more division. Right? You always have a new politician. New politician comes down. There's not going to be any bickering between the Republicans and the Democrats. We're going to have peace. Right, we're going to have peace among us. I'm going to cross the line, bipartisan. So that's seemingly what he's saying. He's saying that I'm the new king, and we're going to have peace here among the entire Klal Yisrael. No more civil wars. Pasuk Chaf Hei, Vayamed Es Halavim Beis Hashem. He positioned the Levim Beis Hashem bim tzil tayim with their cymbals, bin volim their flutes, uvichineros the different types of percussion and the wind instruments, the string instruments, b'mitzvahs David. Now here's something also very interesting. B'mitzvahs David, the God Chose HaMelech, the Nosan HaNavi. What he's doing now, the singing, the Shira, is in accordance with the commandment of David. And God Chose HaMelech, the seer, one of the prophets, the Nosan HaNavi, ki v'yad Hashem, through the Yad Hashem HaMitzvah, the Yad Neviyah of the mitzvah of singing was B'Yad Neviyah. Now before we see Mitzvahs and Rashi inside, just to explain what this means, is the obvious question. What does that mean? The requirement
was,
is...
Was alive still?
No, he was not alive. David wasn't alive either. Mm-hmm. But what it means is there's a very obvious question.
At the time of Nasa.
They set it up.
They're the ones who set it up. Now, what do you mean they set it up? The Torah set it up. The Torah said that the Levim are supposed to sing Shira when you offer Korbanos. So what's going on here? So the answer is that David, the only time the Torah required to bring Sing Shira is only when you bring Korbanos for the Korban Sibur. When you bring Korbanos. But to sing Shira just stand in front of the Aron, for example, the 43 we discussed yesterday, the 43 years when the Aron was transferred, was in Oil David, for 43 years, David sang Shira every single day. It does not say anywhere in the Torah that you should sing Shira in front of the Aron when you're not doing the avodah of the tzibur. Here as well, the avodah, the karbonos that are being offered now at this point in time are not the regular karbonos. These are special oilois, and these are special the seirei chatas for avodah zara. The Torah does not require you to sing Shira. This that David instituted Shira to be sung more often out of the framework of avodah was through the Nevi'im. It's not in the Torah. Which Nevi'im? Nasan and God. And David, they're the ones who instituted this form of Shira, and that's what's being done right now. And especially it fits in line with the entire theme of Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu's avodu was Torah, Bodku Midon Ve'al Be'er Loimatsu Tinik V'tinoika Shalom, that was a Baki in Torah. That's what he's trying to do. And then what did David do? David sang Shira in front of the Oroin, even when there was no avodah. The avodah was in Nov and Givon, not in Oil David. And David was Mesaken to sing Shira in the Mokum of Torah. That's exactly what he's coming to reinstitute, the Chashivas of Torah of Shira, and that's Biyad Mitzvah, Biyad Nevi'ov, not the Mitzvah from what it says in the Torah. Let's look at the Mitzvahs and Rashi clarify a lot of the issues that we pass over. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pinima. Now, when the Mikdash on the 16th day of Adar Sheni, seemingly it was Adar Sheni, it's been cleansed, they approach the king, they go into the palace, and they tell him, guess what? Everything is done. El Beis HaPnimi Mokam Mul Moshe Melech HaMareches. We have cleansed the Shulchan HaMareches. Sh'aruchan Olav Lechem HaPanim. You arrange upon the Shulchan the Lechem HaPanim. Pasuk Yutes, Hizniach. All the Kelim which have been, Hizniach, have been abandoned. She'ozav mehem avodas hamakom v'shimesh b'chem avodas hamakachavim. He is abandoned using them for Hashem and used them for avodah zarah. B'malchuso b'mei malchuso b'malo b'rov malo in his terrible sins. Now here comes the next key words. Hechanu, what have we done with these kelim? We have prepared them. Teharnu, we have purified them. Lidios muchanim, so now they're prepared. La voida. Higdash, and then period. Higdashnum lahashem kabatchila. We've prepared them, we metahar them, and we sanctified them like they were originally. V'rabaseinu, zichroinim levracha amru, sheginozum. The damage was beyond repair. Once they were used for Avodah Zarah, there's no way you can be mevatel Avodah Zarah. That's the difference between Avodah Zarah, a Jew, and a Goy. If a Jew worships something, if a Jew bows down to something, there's nothing you can possibly do. The object becomes Avodah Zarah and it's finished, kaput. But if a Goy worships an eye of Avodah Zarah, so this bittel, if the Goy comes along and gives it a zetz and throws it into the street and he indicates he does a maisa, which shows that he no longer worships this object as an idol, then it becomes permitted for a Jew to derive benefit. So what do we learn from that halacha? That when a Jew worships something, there's no repair. There's nothing you can possibly do to repair its status. Now that's only true if you worship something which you own. But if you go over to your friend, right, your friend has a beautiful car, and you go over and you bow down to the car. You bow down to the car. So now you say, I'm sorry, you know, I know you spent $50,000 on this car, you can't drive it anymore, it's also behind law. I've worshipped it. It is my God. Nonsense. You have no power to prohibit something which belongs to your friend. So that's the issue. The Beis HaMikdash, who does the Beis HaMikdash belong to? It belongs to everyone. Does it? Maybe the Beis HaMikdash is a corporation. It belongs to no one. They go bankrupt. No one's responsible. Who does the Beis HaMikdash belong to? Is it? So the majority of Klal Yisrael worshipped idols. They took the kale, they took all of the pans and the pots, and they used it for Avodah Zarah. Does it become Asa B'Hana? If it's belong to someone else, the kelim belong to, it's a corporation, it's not mine, or belongs to me, but I'm not the majority. I'm just one person. I'm not the whole Klal Yisrael. So I have no power to prohibit all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's okay. All you have to do is just put the kelim in the mikvah, and you mekadesh it, polish it, and it's good to go. But if you learn that, no, it's mine. I own the kelim. Everyone in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Everyone gives machzor shekel. Everyone gives donations. And since the majority of Klal Yisrael was masking to worship idols, so it's we ourselves have damaged the kelim, our own kelim, and they're beyond repair. And that's why they have to be put in Gneza. Okay, next. Or you can suggest, even if technically speaking there's nothing wrong with it, that we don't have the power to prohibit the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, but it's disgusting. Being that people who come and see this, and I remember when they used this kelim as an offering, they used it as an avodah zarah, so in a person's mind, psychologically, it's not befitting, so they put them in Geniza. So Echanu means they made new kelim, and they sanctified new kelim. Now they brought four different sets of korbanos, each type of animal, the parim, the elim, the Kvasim and the Tsefire Izim were all brought in sets of seven. The first three, it says, it doesn't say what they are. The only one that it says was the Chatas was the Izim were the Chatas. It just says Elim and Kvasim and Parim. And what was the Tsefire Izim for? A Kapara for three things, the Mamlocha. It's a very unusual thing. You don't find such a thing. You bring Kapara for the Mamlocha. You bring Kapara on the Torah for individuals. If an individual sins, you bring a chatas or sira. If the melech sins, or a nasi sins, so there's a special set of korbanos. If the kohen gadol sins, there's a special set of korbanos. Where do you find in the Torah such a concept to bring kapar for the mamlocha, for the kingdom? Such a concept you don't find anywhere. Such an idea. That's why this whole thing has a flavor of Chayru HaShah. So it says the Pasuk of Aleph Ahamlocha L'ratzoy S'lashem L'chapel L'chem Sh'yiskayim B'chem HaMalfas. So the Mitzvah is bothered by this, obviously. So he wants to put a little bit of a twist. And it was like an appeasement. that halamlocha does not mean we're looking back to the past, we're looking towards the future. Halavai, this mamlocha, this kingdom, the Chizkiyo should exist, there should not be some rebellion, or Sancheriv should not come and destroy it. So we're bringing korbanos to you, Hashem, as a goodwill measure that you should grant us siyata shema, that we should exist. Vel HaMikdash, Leman Yamdu V'Yiskayim, we should exist. It's all for the future. What they do, they slaughter the parm and the elim and the kvasim vayichatu, and they sprinkled. Matan hadam hanosim beetzba kori chitui. The application of blood with the finger is called chitui. V'chein lechatas al mizbeach. Now that right away is problematic, because if you want to say that this is chitui with the finger, that only, no, so that's not problematic. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. That's correct. Because just in Halakha King, if we go back to Pasuk Chav Beis, when we describe the Bakar, which includes the Parim, the Elim, and the Kvasim, there it says, Vayizriku. When you bring a carbon oil, what do? It's Shtayim Shehein Arba, two, which is four, and it's Zrika. Zrika means you take the bowl, and with the bowl, you throw the blood onto the corners of the Mizbeach. When you bring a carbon chatos, you don't take a bowl and throw the bowl onto the corner of the blood. You dip your finger into the bowl and you put it on the corner. So the Mitzvah is coming to explain why we find difference of expression between the first two. When it comes to the Bokar, which includes the Par, the Ayil, and the Keves, seemingly those were Oilos. And if they're Oilos, you do Zerika. You do zrika shtayim shehin arba. You don't do a chitui. But when it comes to a carbon chatos, there is a requirement to dip your finger in the bowl and put the blood on the corners of the mizbeach with your finger. That's what it says. Haparim. So here the mitzvah is something very important. The parim, the ha'elim, the hakvasim, heviu le'oila. These are oilas. Does not say this in the Torah that you bring this as part of the seirei avodas kechavim. This is not what it says. Therefore, these were for just general gift offerings. Utsefire ho'izim, that the Torah says, that will come l'chatos. B'mitzvahs David, k'moyesh etzi v'davel, like David commanded, ki b'yad Hashem, mitzvahs hashir. What's the mitzvah here in Pasuk Chof Hei? Ki b'yad Hashem ha'mitzvah. What mitzvah? The mitzvah to sing. Right away you'll ask. The mitzvah to sing is in the Torah. It's through Hashem, through Moshe, not the Yad Neviyav. So he explains, Mitzvah Hashir, Amuri Hime Hashem, Biyad Neviyav, the Imshle Huska Beferish Beteras Moshe. So even though it's not explicit in the Torah of Moshe, now, I'm not clear what the Mitzvah means to say, because it is clear. Maybe what he means to say, Rashi really alludes to this, is there's a discussion, what's the Ikar Shira? Is the Ikar Shira Bechli? Or is the ikar shira b'peh? When the Levim were required to sing, does that mean to play musical instruments, or were they required to sing with their mouth? So it's machlokes in the Gemara. They did both, obviously. What's the ikar? So here it says that they're singing with musical instruments, and bim tziltayim b'nevalim b'chinoros b'mitzas David v'god v'chayis ha'melch v'nos ha'navi. So similarly, the Mitzvah is trying to be very diplomatic. Is that not all the details of how to sing are presented? We just know that the Levim sing. That's all it says, Shira. What exactly? We need an elaboration, and part of that was embellished by David, God HaChayzenas Nanavi, and that's what it means here. Okay, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi is a little bit different in some of these issues. Pasuk Yud Ches. Pasuk Yud Tes. He quotes the exact same thing as what Rashi says, Mefurish Be'avodah Tzuchavim in Mesech Avodah Zara. Rashi calls Mesech the Avodah Zara Mefurish Be'avodahs Kechavim U'mazolais. You have to go look at the Gemara, Art School Gemara, we'll go out of business, I have to go and change all the whole volumes. The Sechta, Avoidas Kechav Mazalos. The Perek Rabbi Shmuel, Kalim, Sheshimshu Bebeis Chonyo, Mahu. Beis Chonyo was a replica Beis Hamikdash. There was a fight. There was a fight during the time of the Bayis Sheni. Two brothers could not get along. Who was going to be the Yosh? Who was going to be the heir? Who would be the next Gadol Hadar? There was a machlokes, and one family did not take the civil war. There was a who's right. So one left to Alexandria Shel Mitzrayim, and he built a replica Beis Hamikdash, and they offered korbanos. It started out offering l'shem Shemayim, and then they slid down the slippery slope, and then they turned into offering korbanos. I don't know.
70,
Yanai's children, whatever. I don't know. So there, the Gemara says the Gemara. They actually, at the end, when things are really bad, they offered a mamish l'shem of a dazar. So the question was, what status do those kelim have? Ad Esrei, the Gemara is Alis Yokasha. It says the pasuk here beferish in Divrayam. The Gemara there quotes this pasuk in Divrayam to resolve the issue of when you take a kelim that belong to the tzibur and you use them to favor the zara as to their status. Asher his niach ochas, the kelim which were abandoned by ochas, hechanu v'ikdashnu. My love, does this not mean hechanu de'at belinu? They put it in the mikvah, hikdashnu daktashinu, and they re-sanctified it. So what do you learn from this pasuk? That if a Jew takes a utensil that belongs to the tzibur and uses it for avodah zarah, nothing happens. You do not have the power to damage, to cause harm to public property. Amalai, no. Baruch atah l'shamayim. Oh! The dialogue, the other Amoira who was discussing, I was trying to remember my source. And you reminded me, the source that you're using to prove your point is exactly the source that I used to prove my point. When it says hechanu, it doesn't mean they put in the mikveh, it means they put in geniza. Baruch atah l'shamayim shechzarta li aveidasi. Hechanu means sheginazum. They put away in geniza. Vigdashnu means shegdashnu achedim tachteim. They purchase new ones in their place. It indeed does become osur behana. The Mitzudas didn't say this. The Mitzudas just said it was detestable. You can learn the Mitzudas in a very vague way. It doesn't necessarily technically mean that it was forbidden. It means it was just psychologically unpleasing for the people. Okay, pasachaf hey utzifiri zim. So here along comes Rashi, and Rashi works with Mahalach Chayroa Shohai. So Rashi does not like this whole approach of other Rishonim, that everything he was according to the Halacha. He learned that these four sets of animals, which are exactly seven, nothing to do with seven Shvatim. There's no mention of that anywhere in Rashi. That's all Midrashim of seven Shvatim, because five of them went to Golus. He says everything here was Harasha. Seven is a very nice number. Okay, I used to do some work in marketing, and the number seven is a magic number. He used the word seven. Seven costs $77 or $37. It's gold. People buy. Just no one knows why. They like when if you sell something for $38. It's not going to work. 39 almost doesn't work. 37 has been proven to work. You sell something, the price is $37 before tax, of course, and all the other legal fees and extra things, all the service fees. But
that's why 77.
77 Lubavitch. It's appealing for Klal Yisrael. I don't want to go there. I'm a chassid. Listen, I'm Ashkenazi, Kfar Chabad. I'm a chassid. I'm hitched. His stuff is unbelievable. But imagine. So here, you know, seven is represents the concept of teva of nature. Hayra Asha, seven korbanos, seven times four, 28 animals. Okay, harasha ha'isa al mizbech Hashem, v'loy aloisa na mizbecho sh'os ochos aviv, and they brought the korbanos on the mizbech Hashem, not on the replica of from Aram. L'chapel kol yishol shechotu, now v'shechotu l'shechotu b'aluz k'chavim l'chein amar ha'melech tehi ha'oilo v'achatos. So here, according to Rashi, the king said, let the oil of the chatos avur kol Yisrael. Now b'parashas, now here Rashi is switching back to b'parashas shlach l'cha. There it talks about the laws of the Seire Avoidas Kechavim, Ksevi also call Eda Par, Uchsiv it says, Vikrivu Hakahol Par Ben Bakar Lichatos. So Rashi is trying to prove why it's going to be Hirosha, because there, if you take out a Chumash, the Kal brings a Par as a Chatos. And the Kan Ksiv, here it says, Vayaviu Parim, the Elim Utsifire Izim Shiva. What's going on? Seemingly, from the symbol reading of the pasuk, the par was not a chatos. The par was an oila, and there were elim, and there were kvasim, there were oilos, and the chatos is the seirei izim. That's not what it says in Parsha Shlach Lecha. There, if you want to bring a karpar of a klal Yisrael, you have to bring the parim as the chatas. So Rashi therefore says this cannot possibly be according to halacha of avodah zara. Ella hoy roah shahoy. So this was a decision of the time, sanctioned by prophet. Who is the prophet? Not clear who the prophet was. Maybe it was Yeshaya. Yeshaya lived during these times, or maybe, as we said, it said kemitz Hashem b'dvar Hashem. Maybe Chizkiyahu himself had a vision, and this is what Hashem wanted. Pasachof. And now we go to the inyan of shir. Now, not really clear how this Rashi. Rashi says a few things which I'm not know clarity. Let's try to do the best we can. What it means shir? Kibyan Hashem hamitzah b'yad neviyav l'shor halavim b'chle shir. To sing with musical instruments. Seemingly, Rashi seems to be taking the side that in the Torah, nowhere does it say they should play with the trumpets and with the kinoros and the nevolim and the miltzaltayim. These things do not appear anywhere in Chamishei Chumshei Torah. So when it says here, Biyad Neviyav of Nosan Anovi, God Achayitz, it refers to the musical instruments. Because B'Torah, L'shar B'Halavim B'Chalei Shir, like Kosu B'Torah, Shei Karban Ton Shira, that requires Shira, Ela mitzvahs Hashem shetzilu biyad neviyof. It's purely nosan anavi gadol choizer l'shore ala karbon, to sing with ala karbon with musical instruments. That's what he. Musical lamatzeach for the conductor. Rabbi Seinu pesach the b'sam pesach the sarach and minayin shalavim atunim l'shore b'chli shir. How do you know they require these musical instruments? Tachsiv is in the pasuk avodas avoda. So the Gemara there says no, there is a remes. It says avodas avoda. The service of the service. What's the avoda? A zehu avoda shetzrich avoda acheres imo. What is an avoda service that requires backup? If you have a choir, the choir needs, you have to hire another you have to hire an orchestra. What is an avoda singing which requires another service? That the people who sing need backup, need support, the support of an orchestra, b'chlei shir. The avodas masa. Now he goes on to say that when it says in the Torah the word avodas masa, masa so means that the kohanim they carry things on their shoulders. So he says it doesn't only mean they carry. Masa means to lift up. And when you play musical instruments, you're lifting up your hands in different directions in order to bring out the sound. Whether you're playing drums, you're playing a violin, or you're playing a trombone, whatever you're doing, you're moving up and down. Masa, nochon lefarish al hashir, doesn't refer to carrying heavy loads. V'chananyus, and he gives an example. V'chananyahu sar halavim b'masa, he was in charge of the masa. And there it does not mean carrying, because when David HaMelech wrote this pasuk, they already finished carrying all the kelim into the location of the oil David. Kimevin hu sheimemune lahorim kol hanigun shel shir. He was an expert in raising the voice. So masa means either to sing or to melody means you raise up your voice. Okay, Rashi is very cryptic. I don't have a clear clue. He's jumping back and forth to different ideas. The basic idea he seems to be saying is that there are certain parts can explain of the shira that are in the Torah, that you actually sing with your voice, and then there are certain things that are not in the Torah and that have been instituted by the Nevi'im, and that's what we're referring to over here. All right, we will stop here.